Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
I'm Arthur. It's already a bad start. Holy fuck.
Stop staring at me.
You're sitting right in front of me. What am I supposed to do?
Just face.
Not watch you?
Your face looks weird.
Great. Thank you so much.
No, it's good. It's good. We're in a silly, goofy mood, which I think suits the tone of this film.
Oh, so much.
Extremely well. So this is super fun. You guys are hearing this much later than we're recording it, but with the theatrical release happening now at the end of August, we are finally able to do a little bit of a breakdown of Buddy, which we were able to see at Fantasia right at the beginning of August.
Yeah, seriously, we saw it like, I don't know when this is going to be released, but we saw it basically a month early, essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
And it is all that it is hyped up to be.
Yeah. This is the international premiere. It turns out it actually hasn't had any kind of a release outside of the States up until now, which is kind of cool.
Well, release, I mean, it was at South by Southwest, so.
Sundance.
Sundance.
So Sundance back in January of this year. And then it moved, I think it might have like moved into a couple of other like small releases here and there at film festivals. But now it is finally getting its wide theatrical release.
And it so deserves it.
I remember back in January, basically, I think, because this was around the time that it was probably having its premiere at Sundance, there was just a still from the film that was released of an orange unicorn mascot looking thing with an axe in its hand walking in the woods, but like fake looking woods. And I was like, and then it generated a lot of hype online. And then not too long ago, when the official trailer dropped for the film, everybody went bonkers.
Yeah, because it is fucking insane. It is from the same people or dude who made Too Many Cooks.
Yes, Casper Kelly.
He's the director.
He's an Adult Swim alum, so he's been doing stuff for ages. And yeah, that's it. He had like his short Too Many Cooks, which, by the way, you can watch on YouTube for free.
You should totally watch it.
It's super fun.
Hilarious.
Yes. And so in the same vein that Too Many Cooks kind of pays homage to a degree to like 80s and 90s sitcoms, what Buddy does is it takes the formula of like 90s children's shows, so like for young kids, and it flips that on its head and turns it into horror, essentially.
Yeah. Essentially, imagine if Barney, the TV show, was horror.
Which it, you know, to some people, I guess, was at some points or another.
I guess.
Yeah. I was taking a look at things to like jog my memory, because Barney is something I grew up with. I watched this show nonstop when I was a kid. I was obsessed with this. It was basically targeted at like preschool aged children, so like 2 through 5-ish, and it definitely, I think, really nailed that demographic with the style of TV show that it was. It ran, it turns out, in total for 14 seasons.
Okay, that's not
bad. And
it
had a total of 268 episodes, which is crazy. And it basically, if people, I don't know, if you grew up in another part of the world and you just didn't really see it much growing up, essentially Barney and friends just followed a big purple T-Rex named Barney, who would interact with kids and kind of teach them things and stuff throughout the course of the show.
Yeah, and Buddy, which we obviously just saw, is a very similar premise.
Very much.
Where it is, you know, this giant orange unicorn, and they all have to love him.
Yes.
And he teaches them things like, you know, don't touch the stuff under the sink as it is chemicals.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you get hurt, go see the nurse because it will get worse.
Yes.
Or whatever. But the funny part is that, so we stayed for the Q&A afterwards with the director.
Yes.
And he essentially kind of like birthed this idea from the fact that he thought about Barney and he was like, what would happen if one of the kids just went off script and didn't do what
Barney said they should be doing.
What they should have been doing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the general premise of this movie, because that's exactly what happened in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's kind of what you get, and then everything devolves basically from there into chaos.
Exactly.
Essentially. I would just like to note, too, that while Barney was like extremely popular with the like kids demographic, as we saw over time, it was made fun of pretty heavily by like adults and things like that. It was like parodied on SNL. There were all kinds of different things. And allegedly, supposedly, the music from both Barney and Friends as well as Sesame Street was allegedly used by the U.S. Army in order to psychologically torture and interrogate prisoners from Iraq.
I've heard of that.
What?
Yep. I heard of that.
Which, you know, I guess part of me could kind of see.
I mean, eventually, if you play that 24/7 for like 2 weeks straight,
if you play I Love You, You Love Me, We're a Great Big Family over and over again, people will probably start to feel it at some point.
Anyways, back to Buddy.
Yeah.
Tell me about the cast, because it has a pretty cool cast.
Yes. Okay. So the IMDb synopsis, I will say, gives absolutely nothing.
No, it's like five words.
Yeah. A brave girl and her friends must escape a kid's television series. Bam.
Yeah, that's I mean, you can go lower and read the story outline or whatever it's called.
Yeah, there is generally one.
Yeah,
but
you can do that. I mean,
yeah,
it's fine. It's there for everyone to access.
Yes. So in terms of cast...
Oh, you're not going to do it? Okay, fine.
I'll do it after when we get into the more of a breakdown of it.
Fine.
My goodness. He's so demanding. So the cast, essentially, our main character is played by Delaney Quinn. She plays a young girl named Freddie. She's really the main character that we follow throughout the course of the film. We have a couple of the other... My God, I have to find people on this list. Kristen Milioti, who I think is a pretty big name that'll pop up, who plays the character of Grace.
She's great. She's been like... Black Mirror all over the place and
Black
a bunch
Mirror,
of other things,
Penguin,
obviously.
Now she won an Emmy for Penguin, I want to say, or a Golden Globe, I can't remember. We have Topher Grace, who plays the character of Ben.
Yeah.
He's Grace's husband. We have the character of Buddy is voiced by Keegan-Michael Key.
Great job there, my God.
Very, very good. Yeah. So excellent throughout all of that. We have a character, I'll explain who these ones are later when we get into the spoilery stuff, but we have the character of Strappy, who's voiced by Patton Oswalt, who's also a pretty hefty, I think, like voice actor and
of course.
Adult Swim alum as well. We also have the character that we get later of Willie, I believe that it is, who's voiced by Michael Shannon, so he does make an appearance as well.
Is it the puppet?
Yes.
Oh, okay,
that's
yes.
That's a puppet character. I mean, there's multiple puppet characters in this. And then we do have a couple of the other kids as well who we kind of meet throughout the course of the film also. But Freddie is really kind of our main character who we follow. So, yeah, that's what that looks like. Give me your first impressions coming out of this, because we just saw it at the time that we're recording.
Yo, seriously? It is absolutely unhinged, wild, absolutely hilarious because of the situation that happens. Because of the actual things that happen in the movie, it's really funny in a good way, you know? And it really doesn't hold back. It is violent.
Oh, God.
And there are kids. And just put those two and two together.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing to warn people about that, because some people may be uncomfortable with it. So it might not be bad to give people a bit of a warning about that, just in case you're bothered by that.
Yeah.
Just be aware.
That's it. No, seriously, I absolutely loved it. It is really funny. You were laughing for like half the movie.
It was really funny.
Yeah. It's a good time. You know, it's one of those movies that is so insane and ridiculous that you kind of turn off your brain and it's very much straight to the point, even though it is absurd. And, you know, you just kind of, you really have a great time with it.
Well, it's just, it's such an interesting experience to have because it was such like kind of a nostalgia dump at the same time as you're genuinely just enjoying like the story and the craziness and everything that's happening and how sinister everything gets. You're also thinking about things and going, oh, dear God, dear Lord, you know, I grew up watching things like this and I loved them and I was obsessed with these characters that had been created and all this stuff that were like my friends, even though they were in the TV. And there's like a bunch of whole like elements of that woven into the narrative as well. And I'm sorry if you can hear that. It's the cat.
It's the mascot.
Oh, Christ. He's our mascot.
Yeah.
Thank God he doesn't live in a creepy suit. He's just fluffy. I don't know. It's just there were so many cool different elements to it. It really, I can't even tell you like what a sort of homage while also like a deconstruction of children's television shows from that time period especially it was. There's a lot to it that way, which was really fun. But yeah, no, I really liked it.
No, seriously, it is fucking good.
So before we get into like a little bit of some deeper stuff, a few spoilers here and there, do you want to go digs?
Yes. Very easy for me. This one's like an 8.
Okay, yeah.
I very much loved it. It's one of those movies you have to watch with a group of friends because I think it makes it so much better.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, from everything that I said, it's great. It's a fun watch.
Watching it in a big audience was super fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were some really strong reactions. So, I'm sitting pretty much at the exact same place that you are. I'm going to go 8 out of 10. I really loved it. Like, it was so much fun. Like we said, It's not necessarily something that goes too much deeper in terms of themes. There were a couple of things here and there. It doesn't necessarily do that, but it was just so excellent. It was really great, and it was just a fun film. And it was one of the ones that we saw at the festival that felt very much like it was living in that fun horror camp that people are looking for when they go to a genre festival.
That's it. Exactly. I have to agree with you there.
Yes.
Before we get into the little bit more spoiler stuff, as you guys know, but if not, we don't go kind of beat by beat and tell you everything that happens. We just want to touch on some more main points, I guess, more interesting points where, you know, we will reveal kind of like what happens a little bit, but it's not like you'll be able to get what the whole movie is about.
No, and if you're able to, like, if you're able to, if it's playing in your area, go see it.
You should definitely see it.
Go support theaters in your area. Go support filmmakers. Like, go see these films so that they can at least continue doing what they're doing.
Exactly. And regardless of where you're listening to us, please don't forget to rate the show. It helps a lot. It helps it push upwards and all of that nice stuff.
Absolutely. And Gary, who is our resident ghoul who helps us out with everything on the pod, is currently digging a grave in your honor.
He's That's got right.
everything ready for you.
Yes.
The dirt is still warm. There you go.
What? Ew. Warm dirt? That's not supposed to be like that.
To make it all
cozy. Yuck.
Whatever. Gary, get over here. Give us our spoiler warning, please.
You've been warned. Spoilers ahead.
Giving just a little bit more detail about the plot of the film.
Yeah.
It does follow, it's got like a sort of duality of timeline to a degree.
That then merges.
Going on that merges together. It's got two stories that do come together pretty seamlessly, honestly. So it does follow a young girl named Freddie, who was one of the kids on Buddy, like on It's Buddy.
The TV show. The name
of which is the TV show itself. It's like she lives within the TV show. And slowly but surely, she's the first to realize, and then the other children realize. I mean,
not slowly. It's pretty fast. Okay, like, fine. 5 minutes in, and kids are like, the fuck is going on over here?
Sure. Okay, so due to circumstance, she and the other children who are on the show with her realize that there's a lot more sinister stuff going on behind the scenes, and there's more of a really dark element to Buddy, this giant orange unicorn, than meets the eye.
They're very much aware of what's happening. It's not like, oh, we're in a TV show, we're in a haze, we have no idea what's going on. No, Buddy like kills one of the kids pretty early on, and then it's obviously replaced with another kid because they have to have their whole little individual roles stuff,
which is also right. It's also very funny because, you know, we would see that happen on shows like Barney where like the kids would get a little older, they'd either leave or they'd age out,
of course,
and they'd be replaced with other kids.
Yeah, but then everyone acts like completely normal. But no, in Buddy the movie, they're like, you know, one of the kids is like, oh no, maybe we should do this, and Buddy's not that bad, and the other kids are like, you just got here, like, yeah, who are you?
That made me laugh.
I know,
multiple times. There's a person who's like a replacement who shows up and is just like, I think maybe we should listen to Buddy, and one of the other kids just goes like, what do you know, you just got here. It's good, and it's got that cool uncanny situation for those kids because they start to be like taken out of like the brainwashing that they've received, and they start to realize that the reality that they're in is not real.
Exactly.
But it's just what they exist in.
And they try to kind of like get out of it.
Yes.
They try to go to a place to essentially try to leave.
Yes.
Right? But at the same time, there's the other side of the story.
Yes. So sort of concurrently to this aspect of the story follows Kristen Milioti's character. Her name is Grace. Her husband and her two sons live together in the suburbs, and she slowly starts to have a weird sinking feeling in her mind that there's something weird missing in her life and something is going on. And I don't want to get too far into the detail of it
because
it kind of gives away the whole thing. But she slowly starts to realize that something is amiss in her life, and it is connected to It's Buddy, the TV show, and she doesn't quite know how yet, but as she starts to spot little bits and bobs of it on TV, she starts to realize that there's something really wrong, and she starts connecting dots and figuring out what's going on. So it's got this cool kind of mystery element to it that's going on at the same time, one for the kids and trying to figure out, them trying to figure out how they got here in the first place and like what they're doing there and, you know, if they can get away in some capacity, and then Grace's character on the other side trying to figure out what, like, why she can't remember certain things and what's going on with her as well.
Exactly. And what can she do about it?
Exactly. So you've got, like, all of that kind of stuff. Okay. Should we kick off favorites. Let's kick off three favorites.
Yeah,
I know it's going to be kind of hard to narrow down because there are a lot of really fun elements to the movie.
I mean, the whole movie is absolutely great and hilarious, really, as I mentioned. I have to say that my first favorite thing about it is all of the characters that are in there.
Okay.
They are different. They are absolutely hilarious. There is a mailbox that kind of like, you know, has little eyes.
Oh, Mr. Mailbox. And it talks. He's so cute.
You know, there's like a mailman that comes and he has the mail and the kids are all there. So the mail is obviously for the kids.
Yes.
You know, and he was about to give it to them in the mailbox. He's like, well, are you trying to take someone's job here?
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, all of those are really funny. Patton Oswalt, like you mentioned, voices Strappy.
Yes, Strappy.
Which is Freddy's backpack. Exactly.
He's a little sentient backpack who can talk to her with his little zipper mouth on the front pocket. That's it. So cute.
There's so many great fucking characters. There's that. There's the train, which was funny. Funny in the way that it died because it was fucking violent.
Oh my god, yeah, that poor train.
Insane. There's like flowers that talk. Anyways, all over the place, but they're all, like, it all makes sense. You know what I mean? It's not ridiculous. It's not out of place.
No.
All of those characters are really funny, really well done.
Yes.
They all have kind of like different voices and personalities. Yeah, it's something else. There's the well of, what was that well called?
The Worry Well.
Come on.
That takes in people's worries and helps give them solutions.
Yeah.
There are the other characters who show up. You always have a mix, usually you have a mix of other like fantasy types of characters on these shows where you've got like other like mascot-y looking things.
Yeah.
And then you've got like human characters as well, like the mailman and the nurse character that's there who like helps the kids when they get hurt and everything. And we have Buddy, but we also have Betty Bunny. Don't forget Betty.
She's true.
She's also there as well, who is like one of Buddy's friends slash helpers who's also friends with the kids and is also part of everything. And you know, everything in the movie is like a song whenever we have to learn about something.
Of course, I mean it's a kids show, right?
We gotta sing a song about it and stuff, and it's just, oh god, it's just so, it's so well written because all of it feels like this is really the case. And you're like, yep, definitely saw that when I was a kid.
It's awesome. Number one favorite?
I think my number one favorite would actually probably be the performances of the young cast in the film. I thought they were really excellent. And this is something that keeps happening over and over again. You know, when we like maybe watch slightly older films sometimes, you can kind of tell that casting was maybe done quickly because the kid was cute and not necessarily like either well suited to the character or maybe didn't necessarily have the level of talent that you'd need to carry off certain characters, especially in horror. Horror is fucking hard, man. You have to convey like a lot of different emotions. And so whenever we see something that has a cast that is so great that way and all the young performers are like extremely believable in their roles, I'm always really impressed by it. I was taking a look, like I said, Delaney Quinn, I found, did a fantastic job as Freddie. She's 11 years old.
That's incredible.
She's really young.
Yeah.
We have her character. We've got a character named Oliver. There's Hannah. And then we do have a couple of other characters like Wade and Tyler. And there's also a Josh.
Yeah, because they get killed off and to be replaced.
Yeah, we're definitely spoiling that. Sorry.
Well, anyway, what do you think is going to happen?
I know.
Watch the trailer.
Children do die in this. Anyway. I was just really impressed across the board, even if they weren't really on screen for very long. I was like, man, I really believe that all these kids are either trapped in this situation, but even when the ones who do start to realize what's happening, I thought they were great. Like they were just really believable as these kids who were trapped in this impossible situation. And I thought it was probably a credit to, you know, the casting directors and Casper Kelly working with them and probably the rest of the cast as well that they got to spend time with and everything like that, but also just a credit to them as like young performers. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. It is not easy to do and they did a great job because the way that they come to a realization that something's off and whatever it is, that was like pretty seamless and well done, but also not like, like I said, they're not like in a haze or whatever it is. They're like, something fucked up happens. They're like, wait a minute.
This
is not supposed to be like that.
Yes, I remember that something fucked up happened. And fun, cute little fact that Casper Kelly was speaking about during the Q&A that we stuck around for after the screening was that Delaney Quinn, I think, is really into horror and the idea of being in a horror movie because she specifically stated to him, let me remind you, she was probably like 10 when they shot the film, that she always wanted to play a final girl. And I thought that was so fucking cute.
Amazing.
I love that. And I hope she continues to do horror forever. And I hope she's the final girl in everything now.
Right. That's so cool that they're like very much aware of what a final girl is even at that age. And you're like, yeah, I'm doing a horror movie here, you know? And like he was saying during the Q&A that like, it's not something that they could kind of like hide from the kid. No. You know, like he gave the Shining example where he was just like, no, this is a drama thing. And then when, you know, the kid is not in the presence of things being shot, he would never really know about this. But in this case, there's like wide shots and there's blood being splattered on the children actors. And you're like, yeah, you can't just say this is not a horror movie.
No, there's no way. There wouldn't have been any way of getting away with it. So I thought that was really fun. And it's cool that, you know, I mean, Casper Kelly mentioned he was like, kids now are a little bit different. Like they're not super sheltered, particularly. They're sort of very kind of mature and aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think these kids probably were to an extent as well, partially because of the business they're in too, which I can understand. But I think they're like kind of just, they're more aware of what these tropes are and things. Exactly. So that was really fun. That was probably my first one.
I have to say for my second one, it is, and I'm not going to go too much deep into it because it is very interesting. You should watch the movie. It is the lore that has been set pieces here and there a little bit throughout the movie, right? I think it was really well done. It was very smart. Mm-hmm. The kids do try to, because like they try to escape to the Diamond City.
Diamond City,
right?
Wizard of Oz references, people.
A bunch of Wizard of Oz references, right? And they're trying to escape to that city, and then they kind of get there, but they realize just kind of like a miniature in the background, and you see that, you know, it seems high. It seems like tall, something that you would reach, whatever.
Yeah.
There's that stuff, but there's also some things at the end of the movie.
Oh, boy.
Of how the kids that are getting killed off and replaced, how that happens, right? Yep. So there's like a whole kind of like explanation of how that happens, and that one has a bit of a message as well that, you know, I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
That and also the possibility of spin-offs.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put it that way. I'm not going to say more than this.
So also go see the movie so maybe it's a sequel.
Yeah, that's it. So first of all, there is an image that is shown
that could,
for a possibility of spin-off. Yeah. And the director did say that, hey, if this does well, so please go see the movie. There might be other things that we can do.
Yeah.
So
I do think he might have some other ideas.
Yes.
For things,
the planted
cool.
seeds and the lore in there are awesome.
Yeah. Agreed. They're very good. I'm going to say that I think my second favorite thing was the entirety of the set. Was so good because it felt like it was so very much a set of a children's television show. Mm-hmm. Everything felt like period accurate. It sounds insane to say that because I was alive when these things were on. It sounds stupid because it sounds like it's something from like 70 years ago, but it did. It felt accurate to that time period. It had the same kind of like coloring, like the way that the buildings looked when the kids are in the woods at different parts and stuff. It's got that like funny little uncanny sort of, you know, hand-painted, matte-painted background kind of thing that you see, and like all of the different little set pieces and stuff like that, like the well, like the little clubhouse that they have, like the little tree house that they have. Oh, it's so good. It was so funny. And everything in kids' TV shows at that time, especially, I find they had like that, you know, I'm thinking of things like Big Comfy Couch and stuff where it's almost like stuff looked like it was oversized and cartoonish and everything.
Because it's kind of like seen from their eyes and their perspective, right? So things look a little bit bigger. It makes sense.
That's it. So because of that, like all of it was so beautifully done. I think the set designers, all the people obviously did like a lot of research for it and they did such a good job putting everything together.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of things that were like Uncanny Valley.
Very much.
But also, you know, like you said, it makes sense. That flower design thing is hilarious. The little jaybird, what is it, the bluebird or
the
something?
The bluebird.
That was so funny. He, like, the director said that they wanted to have a little puppet thing for a bluebird. I don't remember what it was exactly, but
and they asked one of the junior puppeteers
I guess to make it and design it, and it's just like a little bluebird and it goes boop boop
and it
flies
almost
away.
Falls off the tree.
Yeah. Oh god, it's so funny. It's all so those cute. Things are hilarious. Yeah, no, seriously, it's well done. There is a lot of things that we obviously liked about this.
Yeah.
I do have to mention, I guess it's gonna be my third favorite, whatever, just because I have to mention it. The character design of
Buddy.
Buddy.
Yes.
I keep wanting to say Barney. It also starts with a B.
Oh, listen, the person hosting the Q&A did it once.
Yeah, that's
during
it.
The Q&A. I don't even blame him. I get it.
Oh, God. So the character of Buddy.
Yes.
Because of the things that happened to it.
Yes.
Which I'm not going to talk about, but you can imagine that.
Oh, my God.
Things
so
happen
good.
To it. It is so well done. Holy shit. I don't know. Like, the kids obviously have to defend themselves from this fucking creature that is trying to kill them, because in the trailer you can see that it is trying to kill them and it has a hatchet and everything. Yeah. So by them injuring it, certain things happen to the character, and the way that it's done, it's really well done.
Oh yeah.
It like it just seems like it's a suit. And there's a person in it, which would, that's how it obviously would work.
Of course.
Right, obviously. But it's not, because the character is something that kind of exists in that world, right? It has flesh or whatever you want to call it in there. And that's just one part. I'm not even going to say what the other part is.
Oh my God, don't.
Because that's way too much.
Yeah.
But Buddy becomes something else, let's put it that way.
Yes, he sure does.
It's fucking crazy. And I absolutely loved that part, because it is really well done, and the design of it is well done. The costume changes that happens throughout the movie of Buddy are incredible. It's, yeah, seriously, the whole thing is very, very good. A lot of work was put into it to make sure that it does the job that it's supposed to do.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's really hard to kind of decide on my last one. I was going to say you've kind of touched on a lot of it just now, because I was going to kind of say the practical effects just at large.
A lot of practical effects, actually.
So many.
Which is great.
They're so good.
Yeah.
So that's excellent. I think, you know what I do want to highlight is just a component of the story to do with Grace's character and her family, especially the dynamic between her and her husband. It plays very much into the whole, you know, a woman has an intuition, a thought about something, and her husband dismisses it.
Right.
And, you know, it's maybe a little bit over the top a couple of times where you're like, okay, why are you being an asshole? But at the same time, it does play into, again, like the 90s-ish time period a little bit where it's like the husband's just like, oh, la-di-da, you're being crazy,
you're just
or whatever
crazy.
The fuck. Like, whole situation, it does kind of play into that, even though I will say that Grace's storyline isn't set in the 90s. It's modern.
It is, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I could tell from the moment one of her sons gets in the car and he's got, like, wireless earbuds
in. Oh, yeah,
it's
true.
I was like, okay.
Right. Yeah, 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 and there's a tablet and everything, so yeah.
Exactly. That's it. So there is that, but I liked the dynamic between the family as a whole. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really good, and she really carried, like, a ton.
Her role, absolutely.
Of that, she did.
She's fucking good, so.
She's fantastic in everything, and it's just, you know, it's very subtle, but just, like, what she deals with, like, as a mom and everything like that and everything that she does. And she has, like, a great line about it at one point where she just says, due to certain circumstances in an argument that's happening, she's like, I give everything for this family. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's probably something that a lot of moms can relate to, honestly. So I really liked that whole aspect of it as well. And I'm glad that they didn't gloss over it.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was just very, very good.
So good.
In it, as usual.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we don't really have anything all that bad to say about this movie, particularly. Mm-hmm. It was really great. It was so fun from start to finish, and I think it's going to be quite the crowd pleaser for people due to all of the things that people who love genre and horror films love, which are practical effects, which are gore, which are really fun kills, which are really, like, satisfying little moments that happen throughout.
The nostalgia factor of it, like you mentioned.
The nostalgia factor,
the
sense of dread that you have throughout the course of the film. Like, it's just, it's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. You guys should definitely check it out.
100%. I don't think I need to convince people, because this one's been popping off online all over the place.
I know, right?
So I'm pretty sure it's going to
be. Was it like San Diego Comic Con and everything? It's
huge. Yeah, but Buddy appeared at Comic Con too.
Yeah, and did a little dance and everything.
So funny. So I think this one's going to do pretty well regardless. But when you do see it, you know, come back and let us know, like, what did you think of the film?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you like it? Were there things that we even forgot to talk about and, like, elements that you really liked and enjoyed about it? Or things that it reminded you of that maybe we haven't even mentioned, which I'd be really curious to hear about
as well.
Yes,
we read and reply to all the comments.
We definitely do.
Yes.
As much as we possibly can. So, haha. So, in the meantime, obviously, we're going to have some other stuff coming out before the end of the month. But in the meantime, everyone, stay scared. and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.